If you would take your Bibles, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, when you find that, if you wouldn't mind to stand. 58 verses.
Come on.
We're going to do all 58. We're going to do a word study on each word. It's going to be great. We'll learn a lot today. We are going to read the first 11 verses, and then I'll say a few things after that, and then we'll read a couple more verses at the end there, okay? So, 1 Samuel 17, a lot of you, if you're Bible readers, know where we're going with this. This is a familiar story of David and Goliath, and we will give the story of David and Goliath. I'm going to make a lot of assumptions and go kind of quickly through that, amen? Or I can take a long time, and so if you want me to really scribe every... No, I won't do that. So we'll go through that, but there's something that happens at the end of that account that I believe God has for us this morning, or afternoon. Afternoon's a weird time to preach. Everyone there? 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies to battle and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesdamim. Okay? I have a baby coming. That won't be his name. I say his. After this week, it might be her. I don't know, but I'm going for a boy. Team boy. Who's on team boy? Who's on team boy? Yeah! Yeah! All right. Who's on team girl? Come on. Okay. All right. Verse 2. We won't go there. All right. Verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there's a valley in between them. So if you're familiar with the story, we've got two mountains. One mountain is the army of Israel. One army is the army of the Philistines, and there's a valley in between. And they're about to do battle, okay? But it's not a normal battle. They did something weird, okay? Now look in verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's about 9 feet tall. I tell the kids he can jump and smack his head on the rim. That's how tall he is. He's like Dustin in like 2 years. It's going to happen. All right. Look in verse 5. Really big dude. That's the point. All right. He had a helmet of brass on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels. Really heavy. Won't get into that. Verse 6. And he had greaves of brass on his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And so the idea is, this is a guy who's grown up as a warrior from his youth. He's really big. He has all the best weapons. He has all the army, all the military training, and he's intimidating is the point of this, okay? He's intimidating. Now verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. We'll explain that more in just a second. Verse 10. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed. And what's those two words? Greatly afraid. Now look all the way to verse 52. You're welcome. And so the armies were scared. They wouldn't fight Goliath. David decides to fight Goliath because he trusts God and not in his ability. We're not going to go there too much today. But he goes and he defeats Goliath. And Goliath is dead. Look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherem, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. So I don't know if you noticed, there's a big change between the armies of Israel in verse 11 and the armies of Israel in verse 52, 53. In verse 11, they're scared out of their mind, hiding in their tents like babies. Verse 52, verse 53, they're out fighting, spoiling the tents of the Philistines. What happened in between those two? And here's what happened, is that a young man a teenage, probably 17 young man, rose up and fought his giant. And when the young man got up and did what he knew God wanted him to do, even though it was scary, the entire army of Israel was ready to fight. And here's the sermon title: Inspire Others to Fight by Fighting Your Fight. I'll say that one more time. Inspire others to fight by fighting your fight. Let's pray over into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great account in Scripture. Thank you for David. And Lord, just the trust that he had in you and faith in your ability. And I pray that you help me as I preach this message, help it to be clear. And Lord, help us all, Lord, that even as the song said, to say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. We love you, Christ, and I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Goliath was there. We already said this, intimidating. The Bible says he was a man of war from his youth. So since he was 3 or 4, training to be a warrior, had a lifetime of experience, had the top end in his armor and his weaponry, and he was ready to fight. And here's what happened before that. Now, a little bit of backstory is Israel has been fighting a lot of fights, a lot of battles, and they've been winning a lot of battles under Saul's reign. Saul became king, and under Saul, they've been being able to win battle after battle after battle. Well, now they get here to the Battle of the Philistines, and they see Goliath, and even though they've won battle after battle after battle, now they're scared, and they don't think they can win the battle. Now, let me ask you a question. Why were they scared at this battle? And why were they not? They were confident, and they were, in some ways, a little bit cocky fighting the battles before, and now they get to this battle, and now they're scared. Why is that? Well, here's why. Because when they fought the other battles, they saw their ability as up here, and they saw the enemy's ability as down here. Now, did God want them to win those battles? Yes. But that really wasn't part of the equation for them. It was that they had this ability, they're going to go fight, and their enemy had this ability, so they were confident. And they're ready to fight the battle, and they did, and they won. Now they get to the Philistines, and God wants them to win this battle too. But here's the difference, is their ability is here, and they're feeling good, and they've set the battles in array, and they have the armies on the mountains, and they have the valley, and they're ready to run down, and rah! That's what they did back then, and just run at each other until someone was not dead, and that was the idea. But so they were ready for that, because they were good at that. But then they see Goliath come down. And so when they started the battle, they saw it as their ability here and the Philistines, like everybody else's ability here. But then when they saw Goliath come down, they saw their ability here. But now their opponent's ability is up here. And now they're scared. And now they've lost confidence. And they're all scared. And day after day, Goliath he'd be up in the mountain, and he'd come down the mountain, and he'd get down in the valley, and he would look at the armies of Israel, and he'd say these words: "I defy the armies of Israel." Now, who's the armies of Israel? Who's Israel? That's God's people. And so there's a pagan man coming down in the valley and defying God and his people. And we won't prove it more because this is for sake of time, but basically the idea was the Philistines believed that their gods was empowering Goliath, and then the Israel's gods would have empowered their champion. And so really what he's saying is, our gods are more powerful than your God. That's what he was saying. Everybody knew it. And so here's why I say that is because God wanted them to go and defeat this guy. That's what God wanted them to do. They were defying God. They were defying God's people. And they were defying Israel, and they needed to go and take this guy out. But they were scared. Well, a series of circumstances happened, and David ends up in the battle. He wasn't supposed to be there at first, but he ended up being there. And he sees this, and he sees Goliath come down day after day and do what he does and leave. And everyone's scared and doesn't attack him. And David is inside, like, going crazy because David sees Goliath. And just like everybody else, David knows in his heart, we need to destroy that guy. We need to take him. We need to defeat Goliath. And everybody knows that, but everybody else is scared. Why? Because everybody else was viewing this thing as what was my ability, and then what is the ability of this battle in front of me. You see? David wasn't thinking that way. David never asked, "I wonder if I can take him." David never asked, I wonder if I've been trained better than him. David never asked, I wonder if my sling is better than his sword. David never asked any of that. Here's the only thing David asked. Does God want me to defeat him? And he knew it was yes. And so he went down to the valley and he took care of Goliath. Because listen, if God, here's how you need to live your life. This is how David lived his life. He went through life not asking if I'm able to do this. He went through life asking, does God want me to do this? Because if God wants me to do this, then I can do it. That's how David felt. And that is the reality. If God wants you to do this, you can do this. If God wants you to kill a 9-foot-tall giant who's been trained his entire life in the art of war, you don't have to think twice about it. If you know God wants you to do it, then go down in the valley and do it. Because you can do it, because you won't be doing it. And David knew that. David knew that God was going to do it through him. And so I doubt anyone here will ever have that situation where you're fighting a 10-foot monster. But there are some things in our life, aren't there? There are some things in our life that we know God wants us to do it, but when we look at it, here's what we think. This is what I'm able to do. And if God asks me to do something where I'm pretty sure I can do it, then I'm all in. Let's do it. And you're confident, and you go in there, and you do it. But whenever you're here, and God asks you to do something that is more than you feel like you're able to do, then that's when you lose confidence, isn't it? And if that happens to you, then what that says about you is you're more concerned with your own ability than you are with what God wants you to do. And that says one of two things. Either you don't think God can do it, or you don't think God will do it. Right? And so then you have to rely on your own ability. But if you rely on your own ability, you're going to fail. You will fail. Eventually, it's going to happen. And so it could be something like this. It could be financial pressures. Medical bill from your MRI comes in. You had a talk with your boss. It didn't go so well. The future of your income is uncertain. The cost of your monthly bills are growing faster than your monthly income. And you're overwhelmed and you've lost confidence. It could be family pressures. The thought of getting married one day might be scary. The thought of never getting married might be scary. Maybe you've been married for a while and things aren't going so well, and you're concerned about the future of your marriage. These are things that can overwhelm us. Maybe you find out you're having a child. You already have two crazy children. Maybe your child's become a teenager. I pray that God just lets me forget about 8 years of my life, I guess. But maybe your child's becoming a teenager, and it's overwhelming. Maybe your child's moving out of the house. You're not ready for that. Could just be something you just know God wants you to do. Maybe you know God wants you to give up something, to give up a certain sin, to give up a certain addiction, but you can't seem to stop it. Maybe you know God wants you to get something out of your life, but you're scared about how life will be without it. Or what's going to happen to you if you do quit. Maybe you know that God wants you to make some changes in your life, but you don't think you're able to. Maybe you know that God wants you to commit to a certain ministry and serve him in some way, but you feel like you're not adequate, and you don't have that ability, you don't have that gift, and so if I'm in that ministry, I'm going to fail. But you know God wants you to be in it, but you're like, I don't think I can do it. And it could be any challenge where you see your ability as here, but then you see the ability to meet that challenge as here, and it scares you. And you're like the armies of Israel in verse 11. Look at verse 11 again. And they were, at the end, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That means they were discouraged and they were afraid because they've convinced themselves that they can't do it. Can't do it. And that's where they're at. Every day, Goliath is coming. And they're scared. And they're discouraged. Because they see their ability here, and they see their challenges here, and they've not asked God about it. They just looked at the challenge based on their ability and based on the ability of their opponent. And we already said this. David didn't feel that way, did he? David marched down there. David saw Goliath. David heard what Goliath was saying. David heard what Goliath represented, and he heard him say, "I defy your God." He heard Goliath say, "I defy you, Israel." And he hears this day after day, and David asks the question, "Who's going to go take care of this guy?" He said, "This uncircumcised Philistine." And he says, "Why does no one go out there and take care of him?" And they all say, "Have you heard about him? Have you seen how big he is? Have you heard about his background and all of that? We're scared." And so David, long story short, goes down there and he destroys Goliath. He gets a stone in his sling. Listen, Saul tried to give him his armor. Saul tried to give him his sword. And what was Saul trying to do? He was trying to bolster David's ability, wasn't he? He's like, David, because David goes to Saul. He said, "Saul, I'm going to go kill Goliath." And David is like, our ability is here and Goliath is here, but yours is like way down here. You're 17. You've never fought. You're not even part of the army. And look at you. And so he said, "At least let me give you my armor." And the idea being, if you wear my armor, then maybe your ability will be closer or maybe you have a better shot at this thing. Because King Saul was all about what are you able to do? David said, "I don't want the army." David said, "I know God wants me to destroy Goliath." And David was never once questioned if he had the ability. He always questioned this way. Does God want me to do it? And if the answer is yes, then he did it. This is how David lived his life. And this is how we need to live our life. What are you facing? What's ahead of you? What are you scared about? Just think about it. What causes anxiety in you? What causes fear in you? What causes discouragement in you? Face it. And it's like every day, you know God wants you to give this up. Maybe you know God wants you to stop listening to a certain kind of music. Or maybe you know that you're in a relationship that you should not be in. Or maybe, and on it goes. Or maybe you know that God wants you to do something about your family and change some things in your home. Or maybe God's calling you to be more faithful to church services. Or maybe God's calling you to get involved with a certain ministry. And you know it. God has made it clear to you in the preaching. Every time you hear a sermon, it seems like it's all about you and this thing and what you need to do. And it's like every day, there's like a Goliath coming out and pointing his finger at you and saying, "Deal with me." And you see it, and you say, "I can't." How many times do you think the armies of Israel were like, "Today's the day," you know, doing it? So they get up, and they get all their stuff, they get their armor, they get their sword, and they're like, "Yeah." And they come down, and they see Goliath, they're like, "No." And they go back to their army, and they cower down and get back. It's because, in the end, they never changed the way they saw the problem. And we need to change the way we see our problems. Our problems are not a question of your ability. If they are a question of your ability, then you have every reason to be discouraged. You have every reason to be scared. You have every reason to live life in an anxious, depressed, and scared way. That you have every reason if it's all resting on your ability, because you will fail. Welcome to Valley Avenue Baptist Church. You will fail. It might take a little while. You might feel like you're doing pretty good for a little while, just like the armies of Israel who were confident in their ability and confident in their skill, and they weren't even thinking about God, and they were just fighting battles under the leadership of Saul, and they were doing good, but there will come a time where you will not be able to handle it. You'll fail. And it's coming. And you don't know when. If you've made it this far without God's help and leaning on your own ability, there is going to come a day very soon, probably, that you're going to fail. And you have every reason to be scared. The good thing is we don't have to view our problems that way. We don't have to say, "You know what? If I was just a better person, I'd be able to handle it. You know, if I would just stop being so cranky, then I can handle this. If I would just start being a more confident person. It's just who I am. I can't help it. I'm just an angry person. I'm just a shy person. I don't like to get into conflict. And so if I was just different, then everything would be better, and I can handle it." That is not true. It's not true. Here's all that needs to matter. This is all that matters in your situation. Does God want you to go on the fence? Does God want you to be scared about this? Well, no. Then go to God and ask for his help and have confidence that God will help you get through this. Does God want you to be anxious about this? Does God want you to worry and fret and mull these things in your mind and be discouraged and anxious and depressed? No, God doesn't want that for you. So what is it that in there that you're not fully following God's ability in? God wants to help you. That could be a giant in your life. God wants to help you. So here's what you need to do. First question is, does God want me to do it? The second question is, how does he want me to do it? Like, what does he want me to do? What am I missing here? And God will make that clear if you just come to him and say, God, I want to live this your way. God, you say this, I cannot win this battle, but God, I need your help, and what do you want me to do? And that's where David was. David knew he couldn't be Goliath. David knew that God wanted him to. And so David asked God what to do. And he went down and he got his stones and he slung that stone into his forehead and it was over. And so you can handle it with God's help. The question is, does God want you to? That's the only thing that matters. Does God want you to? Now here's the point of the message. Look in verse 52. Actually, let's go to 51 so you can see it, which is pretty cool. Verse. Teen boys are going to love this. And so therefore David ran. He'd already killed the Philistine. And stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath. So David didn't have a sword, right? And so this Philistine's dead. David goes and he pulls the sword out of the guy's sheath and slew him and cut off his head therewith. Amen. That's what he did. And he went over there and he cut off the head of Goliath. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, their ability that was here is now way down here. And they're freaked out. And they run. Look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, which is what they should have done from the beginning. And they pursued them into the valley, into the gates of Ekron. And they wounded the Philistines, fell down by the way. And verse 53, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines and spoiled their tent. And they came and they fought the battle and they won the battle. How? Because of one man. There's one young man who decided, I am going to face this guy. I'm going to fight my Goliath. And before that, there was a spirit of fear, a spirit of anxiety, a spirit of discouragement, where they all felt like, you know, we have this battle in front of us, and we have this thing in front of us, and we're probably never going to win it, but we're going to try really hard, but we're probably not going to win. And there is this spirit of fear and anxiety and discouragement. And it's like they're all feeding off each other. And it could have been that guy. Remember that guy gets up, it's like, okay, got my armor, got my sword, I'm going to do it. It could probably was that another part, one of the army soldiers was like, dude, what are you doing? Don't go down there. Have you seen that guy? That's what they did to David, isn't it? David was like, I'm going to do it. And then the rest of them, fostering this spirit of fear and anxiety, hey, no, don't do that. That's Goliath down there. And so there was this culture of, you probably aren't going to be able to do it. Until one guy decided, I don't care how others view this. I don't care if no one else is going to stand up for God. I will stand up for God. And when he did, the rest of them stood up and fought their battle. There might be a teen in the youth group. It's like, I want to serve God. I want to work. I want to do what God wants me to do, but it's going to make me really weird. And my friends aren't going to like me very much. And we're going to have to listen to this boring music that we sang today. And there's no rock and roll. No one gets to play in the praise team band where youth take over. And I'm going to have to change a lot of stuff. And people are going to make fun of me. If one of you guys gets up and says, I don't care what anyone thinks of me, I'm gonna serve God. I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. If everyone else at school thinks I'm weird, if those around me who don't care about God think I'm weird, I don't care. I'm gonna stand up, I'm gonna serve God, and I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. You know what'll happen? You'll inspire some more in your youth group. And probably there'll be somebody who stands up with you. And then probably there'll be someone who stands up with you. And probably there'll be someone who stands up with you. And eventually, instead of a culture of fear and anxiety and discouragement, we have a fear of victory. A culture of victory, a culture of following God, a culture of moving forward and attacking our battles. And if the youth can do that, here's what happens to the church. The church will do that. And they'll get up and they say, if they can do it, I can do it. And if they can do it, I can do it. If God, I saw God help them, I know that God will help me. and it'll encourage and it'll foster instead of a spirit of negativity and discouragement. Instead, we have a spirit of let's go forward and let's, yeah, it's hard, and just not ignore the battles. Let's not ignore how life is sometimes and how scary life can be. But here's what we also know. God can help us win those battles. And there could be somebody in this room who's been battling for a long time. And they're watching the rest of the people in this room. And then they see somebody in this room make a decision for God, and give something up and move forward and win some battles. It's going to encourage them to do the same thing. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but Jessica has been sober and off of cigarettes for a long time. And God is using her to inspire other people in this church. And you guys all have battles in your life. And this, I want you to know this. It's not only about you. And if you stand up and if you fight your battles, then what's going to happen is it's going to inspire others to fight theirs. Because it has nothing to do with how hard the battle is. It has everything to do with what does God want you to do. Do it. Do it. No more reservations, no more excuses. Do it. Get down there and with confidence slay the Goliath. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the example of David. Thank you for how you used him in such a mighty way. And I pray that you help us, God, to have confidence in you. Help us to, Lord, live in a way that's glorifying to you and to not be so caught up and concerned about our own abilities, but, Lord, have faith and courage and confidence in you and find out what it is that you want us to do and then trust you. And Lord, I pray that you help us to inspire other Davids to stand up. Stand up and face the battle. We love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen.